message with Bethel UMC, October 19th in 3, 2, and 1. Well, welcome to the online version of the message, a very similar message that I'll bring live and in person on Sunday at the Bethel Church. Hope and pray you can be there, but if not, we're grateful that you tune into the online service, and we're just grateful that Phil and I are able to put it together and bring it to you, and that you can go back and listen to some of the other messages. There's just so much information on that website. And I wanted to talk to you about Jesus as our friend. Now, I started a series last week, Jesus as Your Friend, and it'll probably run 13, 14, 15 weeks because the Bible's full of information about how Jesus can be and should be and wants to be your very best friend. And this week, I'm going to talk about Jesus as your merciful friend. Now, these last couple weeks or months or so forth, there's been a lot of preparation for the upcoming 250-year celebration of the founding of our country. Some, like last week, I think, maybe the week before, the Navy celebrated 250 years. And all the branches of the military, I'm pretty sure, have an unofficial hymn. Now, the Navy hymn is Eternal Father, Strong to Save. And the Air Force hymn says, Lord, God, guard and guide the men who fly. Well, there's a former Air Force chaplain by the name of James Lindsay. Now, he's also a seminarian, Bible prophecy, wonderful man of God, expert in Hebrew, and he served our country for, almost 30 years, I believe. But James Lindsay heard that Donald Trump has created a new division of the military known as the Space Force. And when he found that out, an idea popped into his mind, because he's a highly trained seminarian and Hebrew scholar who had several times served along men and women who risked their lives for America. He's also a musician and a songwriter. So Lindsay wrote a hymn for those who will defend America far beyond our atmosphere. And it's a beautiful song. I looked it up on the internet. It was really wonderful. And the song begins with a prayer, asking God to watch over those who travel into the perilous beauty of outer space. What an incredible age that you and I are alive in. That when we can launch rockets into space and explore the heavens, it's our friend who created this vast starry universe. Think about it. Jesus was with God from the foundation of the earth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But perhaps the creation of the universe was far more or less easily compared to a couple other endeavors he had since accomplished. Would it be a surprise if I told you it was easier for God to create the world than for Him to save you from hell? Yeah, there is a hell, a literal hell, but Jesus saved us from it. Thanks be to God. But think about it. The Lord didn't have to become a man and sacrifice His life to create the universe. No, God didn't have to forsake His own Son to form the grass and the trees. With a simple word, let there be light, and God created light. But when it came to saving our souls, the cost was higher than we can even imagine. God Himself had to become human, suffer immense pain, die by the terror of the cross, and rise back to life again, all in order to forgive our sins and give us eternal life. He didn't have to do any of that. He didn't have to plan a redemption for the angels that rebelled against Him. Humanity was fallen and depraved and wicked and continually disobeyed His will. But, you know, I love the buts and the if. But still, He chose to love us. He decided He didn't want to spend eternity without us, even if it broke His heart in the process. Now, I think that's mercy. Have you ever considered those miracles as a heavy lift for Him than created creation itself? It's one thing to read, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. And then another we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, John chapter 1 and verse 1, and also in verse 14. Now, I think realities are full of wonder and mystery, yet they're very different. This line of thinking came to me as I was studying the Gospel of Luke. You know, we look at the Gospels as synoptic Gospels, very similar. You know, Luke and Mark and Matthew. John's a little different. But chapter 5 of Luke once was Jesus ministering in a small setting. Some people brought him a young man with some physical challenges. And Jesus looked at him and he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Luke chapter 5, verse 20. Now, I noticed that first word, which is in the theme of this book of Luke, Jesus calls us friends. But the Lord's critics honed in on the other four words. Your sins are forgiven. Well, the Pharisees and the teacher of the law were furious. They did not like that. He said that because they knew only God himself could forgive sins, Jesus was in fact, oh, this guy's claiming to be God, because we know only God can forgive sins. Yeah, he was God and is God, and he was here with us. Now, our Lord knew what they were thinking, and he's saying with us, you know, he knows everything about us. After all, he created us. And he asked him this. He said, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to this paralyzed man in Luke chapter 5, I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home. And the man who had just received invisible forgiveness in his soul received total healing in his body. He got up and he rolled up his mat and he went home. Now, I think Jesus' point was lost on them, but it shouldn't be lost on us. He said, it's easier for me to heal this man than for me to forgive his sins, but I will give him outward healing to prove to you that I, the Son of God, have the ability to forgive sins, and I am also the Son of Man. Wow, that is really something. Healing the man was relatively easy for Jesus. Now, others in the Bible did that, that's for sure, but forgiving sin is something that required the Savior to shed his own blood on Calvary. The powerful, merciful friend, Jesus, can change your spiritual destiny also, and your physical journey through time. You know, it is a journey. It's not a sprint, this thing we call life. And if we trust in Jesus, we go from life to life. That's the beauty part of loving Jesus with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul. But I digress. It's in our best interest to get to know him, particularly in the midst of turbulent seasons of societal ferment and realignment. Jesus was able to forgive your sins and make you clean and pardoned and free from the guilt that plagued all of us. Ah, there's something about that name. There's something else that Jesus, being God, can do. He can resurrect the dead. In John chapter 5, verses 26 and 27, Jesus said, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man." Let's think about it for a moment. You know, just try to remember that Jesus Christ will be judge of all. The Bible says first comes death and then the judgment. And Jesus will be judge of all. Now, being called judgmental is one of the hardest criticisms I think any of us that we could level on any person in these days and time. People say to us, "Oh, don't judge me. What gives you the right to judge me? I'm not suggesting that we be judgmental or wild the truth like a club." No, but we need to speak truth to our society with grace and mercy, yet plainly. I think Charlie Kirk was really trying to do that in a wonderful way, yet an assassin's bullet took him out. But, you know, it is something that we all need to do. We need to proclaim the gospel plainly, simplistically, and also with mercy. Because Jesus didn't want any to be lost, he wanted all to be saved. And as my friend and your friend, we need to share that with our earthly friends. Amen? Now, I think we must retain the right to discern right from wrong because people truly need to realize that there's an objective right and a wrong in this world we live in. And God does have absolute standards of moral purity. And Jesus will judge those who are outside his blood-bought pardon. Now, the people that walked with Jesus those 3 years that he was here, and he got to talking about this, they knew there couldn't be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of the blood, but they didn't realize that he was going to become the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, as John the Baptist said when he saw him. But if you're a Christ follower and don't share the truth with those that you know, your service to Christ is really questionable. Now, you can't have a private faith. No, you got to have a faith that is open. And when people see you and you share your faith, especially when they say, you know, I go through some of the same things you do, but you seem to handle this better than I. What is it? And you opens the door. It is because Christ came into my life. And share your faith. You don't have to browbeat them. Just plant a seed of love and grace and say, look, I want to share my friend Jesus with you. So when we warn others of what the Bible says, we're not mad at them. We're not being ugly or angry. No, we're inviting them towards the freedom that we found in Jesus. Don't you want to tell someone that God is all about love? Wouldn't you want to rejoice with them to see them step into eternity knowing Jesus as their friend? John continued in John chapter 5, part of the verse that I read earlier. Do not be amazed. This for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out, and those who have done what is good will rise to live, and to those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. That's just the fact of life. First comes death, then the judgment. Now, our friend Jesus is going to oversee the physical resurrection of every human being who has ever lived. I just can't get my head around that. Now, I'm not even going to try, but I've been thinking about this for days. Jesus is going to say something like, hey, come forth, and everybody will come back to life in their assigned sequence. Now, we'll not simply be reconstituted or resuscitated or anything else. No, we will be glorified with bodies that are eternal and imperishable. How can he do this? He's not like us. When he comes, we will see him in all of his glory. On that day, I think we'll all be amazed at the limited perspective that we had of Jesus. And we might even be ashamed of our reluctance to identify with him at one time in our life. But it is a wonderful thing to let the light of Christ shine through you and individuals. And when people say, you know, there's something different. I had a friend, a real good friend. He worked for me for, I don't know, 25 years or longer. He was my body shop manager, and he was also one of my drinking buddies. And after I turned my life over in 1986, and Billy quit coming around, and one day I seen him, and I said, hey, how come you haven't come to see me lately? I don't know. I'm uncomfortable being around you now. There's something different about you. Well, he didn't. And it's a choice. People have the right not to accept Christ if they don't want to, but he liked the life that he was living, and he didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. Now, I haven't seen him. I'm sure that he is not with us anymore in this world, but because his health never was that great, being in the body shop and smelling all that stuff. But my hope and prayer was that maybe some of the seeds that I might have planted in his life, he eventually come to know Jesus as his merciful friend. So I want to just take the time for all of us to consider that the Creator of the universe did something much more difficult than scattering stars throughout the night sky. Oh, they are beautiful. You wonder how they get up there, but I don't know. God did it. And Jesus offered himself on the cross to forgive your sins and my sins and provide you and I with the certainty of eternal, resurrected, glorified body. No more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. You know, these bodies were made to slowly deteriorate. Wasn't that way originally, but you know, our brothers and sisters in the garden, when they let sin creep in, and that's what happened. But the spirit, our spirit, it never dies. It goes on, and it's our choice where we want to let that spirit go. I want to go and get the glorified body. But I digress. Think about this. Jesus truly is a friend like no other friend you will ever have. Now, earthly friends are great, and we need each other. You know, in Ecclesiastes, it says two are better than one. When one falls down, the other picks us up. That's what friendship's all about. And we have some wonderful friends here on this earth. But what a wonderful blessing it is to know and experience God's mercy and grace while we are here in this old world. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And as I mentioned last week, it's a simple prayer. You don't have to have a model prayer or a printed prayer. If you open your heart and ask Jesus to come in, he wants to be there, and he'll just accept whatever invitation you give him. So next week, I want to give you a little foretaste of what we're going to talk about next week. And next week, we're going to talk about Jesus, your wise friend. It says in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So look forward to talking to you again next week. And if you get a chance, come to see us in person. Bethel United Methodist Church, 1470 Bethel Church Road, Tallahassee, Florida, 32304. God loves you, and so do we.